3 o'clock rock. I'm going to go out and hit a bucket of balls today, John.
Excellent idea.
So the Lakers have lost two in a row. They have struggled in these last 2 games.
But they've also won 8 out of 11.
And I talked a little bit earlier about my concern for the Lakers and their rim protection. And Curtis Sams, and John, you sort of tried to shoot that down.
Well, Anthony Davis is one of the best rim protectors in the league, and they don't have him right now.
So Curtis Sams writes, Ireland is tripping. Last year, the Lakers allowed almost 15 points per game on transition baskets, one of the worst teams in the league. This year, they are allowing three less transition points per game, only 12.1. So they've actually improved on their transition defense. He says, we are allowing 4 more points in the paint this season, so it's not transition. My opinion, we can't run guys off the three-point line like we used to because it's too easy to score inside on us. Dwight averaged 1.1 blocks per game last season, and McGee averaged 1.5. The combination of both those guys and their rim protection was key. How do you react to that?
Well, let me say that maybe I shouldn't have phrased it transition defense because those are he's talking about fast break points. What
Correct.
I'm talking about is the other team will come down off a steal or even a made basket and immediately attack the rim. And sometimes you can't get into a set defense before that. That's what I'm seeing. But if Anthony Davis is in the game, they have less tendency to do that. Marc Gasol averages 1.26 blocks per game. That's 21st in the NBA. That's not terrible.
But they had two guys averaging more than a block a game last year.
Right, and if you add AD, AD added more than two.
Correct.
Right, so the combination, they do have less length, I guess would be a way to put it.
But I've been saying this for weeks now, AD aside, I think they need front court depth, and that's why the idea of DeMarcus Cousins, who
But he's
is,
not, you know, and the reason you're bringing up DeMarcus Cousins is because it's being reported by everybody who covers the NBA.
That he and the Houston Rockets are going to part ways.
Yeah, and the Lakers have a great relationship with him, and I think a reunion would be possible. But he's not, like, you know, nobody brings in Boogie for his defense. He would be brought in because he would help the fact that their offense is struggling. And, by the way, Boogie shoots threes now.
Yeah, Boogie shoots threes, exactly.
Yeah, he's not going to block shots.
He's not going to block shots. He's not going to give you interior defense.
No.
That's why the idea of, and you guys can't talk, but the idea of Houston and P.J. Tucker is interesting because he's a much more defensive-minded player.
Yeah, but he's 6'2".
Yeah, but he's a really good defender. He's a really good defender.
But he's not going to stop anybody from getting to the basket.
You know,
he played center last year for the Rockets.
Oh, come on. That doesn't work.
But, Michael, are you more with me on this that I think the Lakers defense is so dependent on Anthony Davis that it's hard to criticize them when AD's out because those aren't the real Lakers.
Yeah. Right, but where is this depth that we've been talking about all year long?
Well,
I mean, the idea was let's build a really deep team, and the deep team is not defending in the paint, and the deep team is not making threes.
But let's talk about what they are doing. All right, Montrezl Harrell's been great.
He's been great.
All right, you know, he's the
guy. No disagreement.
He's the guy that you basically brought in instead of Dwight.
Correct.
So you've got Montrezl Harrell instead of Dwight. You brought Marc Gasol in instead of JaVale.
Right.
Has Mark hasn't been necessarily better or worse than JaVale. I think that's a pretty even swap, right? And Mark's a much better passer.
Yes.
The guys, Michael, I would like to see step up because I think it's a real opportunity with no Dennis Schroeder and no AD. I think this is a time – you know how much I love Talen Horton-Tucker. Mm-hmm. I think this is a time where he could really put his impact on the game.
Yeah.
Wesley Matthews and Markieff Morris both didn't like the fact –
Markieff Morris has not been effective since he got back into the rotation.
Well, and they made a note of the fact that they were disappointed to be taking out of it, which is what you want. You want those guys. So this is an opportunity with Schroeder and AD out for both of those guys to impact the game. That's what I'm looking for tonight. I hope that somebody off that list
– yeah.
Matthews, Morris, THT. I'll put Caruso in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That Caruso, one of those guys, impacts the game in a bigger way. Because, you know, Michael, you've talked about this a lot, that when you're down two starters, it's an opportunity for all the guys who never get to play to show that they deserve to play.
That's right. Yep.
So tonight's one of those opportunities.
Yeah, and you can everybody can score. Scoring's easy, Mace. You can go out there and go 6-for-12.
No,
you
you've seen me. You've seen me go 2-for-20 at the free throw line.
You give you 2 weeks of training camp, you'll be all right. But it's the defense. What's that? The Showtime Lakers and the Chicago Bulls and Houston Rockets, those championship-caliber teams, Warriors, is their defense. If you can, it starts on the perimeter. If you can shut people down the perimeter and prevent all those constant drives in the paint, believe me, the Lakers will improve tremendously.
So, Michael, who gets Bradley Beal's leading the NBA?
Who gets Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal is spectacular.
So, KCP, probably?
KCP will start on him. Wesley Matthews will get a shot at him. Caruso, everybody's going to gang up on Beal today.
Yeah, he is. He's having just an explosive year.
You know, he's not having a great year. You know, you look at his shooting percentage. He's shooting like 32% from three and like 39% from the field.
So but he's scoring. What is he scoring?
No, Michael,
he's scoring
incorrect.
Like 36.
What's he shooting
game?
From the field?
Hold on.
He's a leading scorer in the league.
Yeah, I know because he's putting up 100 shots a game.
He's shooting 48%
from the field.
From the field, yeah, 47.8. But you're right about three.
That's pretty good. Man, that fly.
He's shooting 33% from three.
Yeah,
but he averages 33 points a game.
How many field goal? How many field goal attempts a game? I'm going to guess 23.
Seven threes and total shots, 23 a game. You're absolutely right. He's averaging 23 shots a game.
So you average 23 shots a game. You should be leading the league in scoring.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have much choice, right? I mean, there's not a great deal of talent in Washington. He's really the show. I mean,
Russell Westbrook playing tonight.
Westbrook is there. Yeah, Westbrook is there. But really, the scorer. The scoring's got to come from somewhere, and Beal is that guy. There was talk earlier this year that they may look to move him, and a number of contenders were interested in him. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for those teams that were interested, now Washington is within striking distance of that 7-10 range that will be in a play-in. And so there's going to be less player movement this year because every team, I think in the Eastern Conference, every team is within three games of the play-in.
Well,
even like the worst team in the league.
Well, the other thing is that nobody has been affected by COVID-19 more than the Washington Wizards. Nobody. They had 9 players go into health and safety protocol, 6 tested positive. Michael, I didn't believe this until I went back and actually did the math. They completely shut the team down for 13 days from January 11th through the 24th. And then when they brought them back, they weren't even allowed. Not only were they not allowed to practice, they weren't allowed in the facility. They shut the whole thing down, didn't let them do anything but quarantine. They lost their first 4 games coming out of that break. And they had their 4 lowest scoring games of the season. So the record says they're 10-17, but they got shut down for 6 games, and 4 when they came back were pretty much throwaways. They're better than 10-17.
Yeah, and by the way, they're only, and this is sort of the point I was making, they're only a game and a half out of the play-in tournament. I mean, they're 10-17 and only a game and a half out of the 10.
And because they have Westbrook and Beal, they on any given night they could jump somebody.
Yeah, virtually everybody is in it this year. I mean, except Minnesota, Detroit, and Cleveland. Everybody is essentially in it. Even like, for example, the 10 in the Western Conference is Dallas.
Yeah.
And Houston is only 2 games out of the 10. So everybody's in it except Minnesota, Cleveland, and Detroit. Everybody else is close enough to the play-in tournament that they're probably not going to make moves where they dump players, right? If you've got a chance to be in the play-in tournament, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And so I would not be dumping players if I was in striking distance.
Yeah, that's a good philosophy to have. As long as you got a shot at the play-in, you may as well, you know, play it out till the end to see what happens.
877-710-ESPN. By the way, yesterday I was watching the Clippers-Brooklyn game.
Oh, what a game.
Oh, good, Mace, because I was thinking that maybe you will finally come around. Now, the Nets have won 6 games in a row.
Yes.
They're now 8-0 against Western Conference playoff teams.
Yep.
Without Durant, they beat both the Lakers and Clippers on this trip to Staples, and both Kawhi and Paul George played last night.
And they're 12-2 against the best teams in the league.
And Mace, this last one, I'll let you get in here. They blew out Utah by 34. They beat Utah by 34 without Durant or Harden. Are you finally ready to admit what Michael and I figured out weeks ago, that the Nets are coming out of the East?
I'm still taking Philly.
What?
I'm still taking Philly.
Are you just trying to be stubborn?
No, I'm not. I am stubborn. Ah, that fly again. Fly. No, I'm not. I am stubborn, and I'm sticking with Philly. Now, the one thing about that game yesterday that was irritating to me was the fact that Paul George, who was having a really strong performance, was pulled from the game, a close game, a six-point game, with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. And after the game, Tyronn Lue said it was a minutes limit.
Oh.
2 minutes and 50 seconds left in a six-point game, and Paul George is removed and doesn't come back to the game.
Well, let me say this, that if Ty Lue did say that he was pulled specifically because of a minute
limit. That's what he said.
Then Ty and his staff are guilty of mismanaging Paul George's minutes in that game. Because you have to have him available at the end of that game. You knew it was going to be close. You don't need him in the second quarter. You need him in the fourth with the game on the line. So that's on the Clippers coaching staff if that's true.
Minutes limit, huh?
A minutes limit.
That never happened to Jordan or Kobe.
No, it didn't. And by the way, it's sort of arbitrary, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of just, why is 30 minutes the number?
Right, exactly.
It's like, we're only going to play you for 30 minutes, but we're not going to use you for the final 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
There's no way
in a marquee showdown game on national TV.
Yeah, there's no chance you can get hurt in the first 10 minutes of the game, but that last 2 minutes, you know.
And I understand, by the way, I understand the idea of a player doing a DNP rest. I understand
that. No, you don't.
I do.
Come
I do.
On.
I understand that. I understand that Kawhi's got mystical injuries that we don't fully understand,
oh,
and sometimes he doesn't go out
you
and play.
You don't think the Pats, greats of the past didn't have injuries? Then they just come back, they're healthy, they play?
I'm splitting the difference here, Michael, if you listen to me. I understand a DNP rest. What I don't understand is a player coming out of the game with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left, a close game in a marquee matchup against one of the best teams in the league on national TV. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
So you would have understood if George wouldn't have played last night against the toughest competition they could face next to the Lakers.
Correct. I would.
What?
I would understand it.
Even if he was healthy and could play.
Do you think Kevin Durant can play right now?
No, because he's got a sore hammy.
No, he probably can.
I don't know.
I think an unnecessary risk.
But this is very DNP rest-like. Whenever I see a player sitting, I wonder if it's DNP rest and there's just some excuse being provided.
No, KD's too much of a competitor. If he was healthy, he'd want to be out there with his boys.
Here's what Paul George said after the game last night. I would have to be honest with myself. I wasn't ready to play 30-plus minutes today. Just got to get back to that basketball conditioning and get that win back to where it was. As much as I would have loved to play, I probably would have hurt the team being on the floor past the minutes I played tonight.
So he felt like he had nothing left?
He thought he had nothing left, and that's why he didn't play the last 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Man, I never heard that before.
Yeah, interesting.
We were cavemen back in our day. We just played if you're healthy.
Ty Lue after the game got kind of out of hand. They were only six points down when he came out. And we had to bring George back to get the game close. He played well. He got us back in it. Tough decision. But the biggest thing is that he's healthy, and biggest thing is players' health.
Well, of course.
So it sounds like it was a collaborative decision between Paul George and Tyronn Lue for him not to play the final 2 minutes and 50 seconds. In a game that was a very entertaining game.
They should have held him out 2 minutes more in the first half then.
Yeah, right. Why not balance those minutes?
Yeah.
Exactly. 877-710-ESPN. Coming up for you a little bit later on this hour. Michael, do you realize that you are in it for the win in Game of Games, even though you're here only two or three days a week?
What's the category today?
And Michael, it's my game. It's a category you could do well in. And because it's the last week of the month, it's worth double.
Yeah,
like
worth double
jeopardy. So if you win today, you've got a real shot to win the whole month.
I should get double.
In the month of February, Ireland's won six times. I've won three. Michael, you have won three times. You're tied with me right now.
Well, my point should be double anyway because it's Black History Month.
Is that what it is? It always leads to racism.
I was gonna ask you about that. I'll do it when we come back.
Yeah, do that when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. I feel so bad. My puppy dog, Sophie, is wandering around. She doesn't want a treat. She's She's 15 years old, and I think she's upset.
Well, just hopefully she just ate something bad.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, 877-710-ESPN. John, you had something on Black History Month.
Okay, so Michael, you still there?
Yep, waiting to hear your answer.
Okay, so I was talking to a guy the other day, and the guy I was talking to was black, and he was telling me how he hates Black History Month.
Why?
And I said, why? He goes, I have a Morgan Freeman view of Black History Month. I said, what's that? And he said, Google it. So I did, and I found this one-minute clip of Morgan Freeman on with Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes about 10 years ago. And I want you to hear it, and then just tell me if you agree or disagree with it. Here's Morgan Freeman with Mike Wallace.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
What do you think, Michael?
I love it. I love that. I love that message. That's what Martin Luther King said. Don't judge me by the color of my skin, but the content of my character. And he's right. Blacks have, black people, Latino people, Asian people have had a rich history of forming this country and creating all the great inventions and the different eras that they lived and came up with and ideas they came up with throughout history. It doesn't have to be relegated to 1 month. Teach it year round. People of all races have had a major impact in improving the world.
But why can't we have both? I mean, there's nothing wrong with
yeah, by the way, May is Jewish American Heritage Month.
I mean, when you guys talk about Albert Einstein, do you talk about him as a white or Jewish mathematician or just a mathematician?
Yeah, I know. I realize that it would be the ideal place to get to. But right. as we learned this summer, we got a long way to go with race relations. And I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a month and saying, like, ESPN's on a month-long campaign.
So come March and April, you just forget about it.
What's wrong with sensitizing people to the idea that there's still not full equality? And there are so many chapters in African American history that have not been highlighted, so many stories that have not been told. And in this 1 month, there's an opportunity to tell those. There's an opportunity to celebrate HBCUs.
And what have you guys learned this month about black history?
I read a story about Marian Anderson, who was a singer.
Yeah, great singer.
Back in the 40s, and they wouldn't let her sing at the Daughters of the Revolution Hall.
That's right.
And instead, Eleanor Roosevelt set up an outdoor concert at the Lincoln Memorial.
Very good.
And she performed before 75,000 people. A lot of people consider that to be the beginning of the civil rights movement in America.
And Michael, I knew nothing about the Tulsa Race Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
And did you know about that years ago?
I know about all this stuff.
So, Mace, did you know about this? In 1921, when mobs of white residents, many of them deputized and given weapons by city officials, attacked all these black businesses in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. And it was just the death toll's disputed, but apparently they massacred 36 black people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Michael, what's wrong with highlighting these stories and telling these stories?
Why can't you do it year-round? Why you got to wait till February to do it?
Well, you got to start somewhere, right? Look, I mean, we're not doing it. Like, I didn't know about
Black
Tulsa.
We've had Black History Month for 30 years. 40 years. Come on.
But don't you think getting rid of Black History Month is a step in the wrong direction?
You don't have to get rid of it, but continue to talk about it. Just once February's over,
well, wait a minute.
We spent
the entire summer talking about it.
About Black history?
We spent the entire summer talking about racial inequality.
Yes.
And the fact that we're not there yet.
Oh, I think we're getting closer.
Do you? Good.
I hope you're right. I think we've got a ways to go, man.
You're always going to have racism in some pockets, in some people's hearts. Okay, you're never going to eradicate it in some people. But for the most part, I think America's made vast improvements from where when I first started coming over here. We've had a Black president, Black Supreme Court justices, Black billionaires. We're getting better.
But aside from Black History Month, we've spent a year really talking about African-American history, the history of African-Americans in this country, which is troubling at
times.
That's
your fault for not knowing about it before the summer. I always knew about it.
Right, but Michael, I would say that most white people are still learning, don't you think?
And that's fine. I don't know everything about Latino history. George, tell me something. I mean, I'm trying to learn. I find it all fascinating. George, tell me something about something we don't know, George.
That Cinco de Mayo is not Independence Day in Mexico.
I knew that. September 16th is Independence Day, right?
16th,
see, I knew that. I bet you Ireland and Mason didn't know that.
I knew it wasn't Mexican Independence Day, but I don't know what it is. What is it?
You don't want a battle versus the French I forget the state. But it was a battle that the Mexicans won over the French.
Yeah, I knew that.
And it's celebrated Cinco de Mayo.
Because I wanted to know why do they celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and I looked that up and learned it.
Yep. Right.
Hey, you know, Michael, I think a big problem with Black History Month, at least in my eyes, is that what they're teaching kids in school. Because I remember when I was younger, Black History Month, we learned about Rosa Parks, and they told us that Rosa Parks was a really old lady who had been working all day and was so tired. All she wanted to do was just sit down. And nobody wanted to let her sit in the front of the bus because she was Black.
Right.
But come to find out, 25, 30 years later, that she was actually a very young woman who specifically decided that she wanted to sit in the front of the bus because she was standing up, to racism.
Yeah, she was
and it had nothing to do with being an old lady with tired feet that people were being mean
right.
to.
The narrative changed.
It had nothing to do with it. Yeah.
By the way, to Michael's point, though, Mace, I don't know if One Night in Miami gets made 20 years ago.
No, I don't think
you would empower Regina King with that budget to hire that cast.
I don't think.
By the way, Michael, have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, I know it firsthand, but I still want to see it, though.
Yeah, you'll like it.
I don't think a movie Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which starred Chadwick Boseman, gets made 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, they will, because we've had movies about the Black Panthers 20, 25 years ago. What are you guys talking about?
Lee Daniels, who did, and by the way, here's another great movie, The United States versus Billie Holiday is coming out this month, I think next week on Hulu. Lee Daniels, who's the director, says it's hard to get $10 to make a Black movie in Hollywood.
Really? Now?
Yeah.
Still?
Still. Wow. Absolutely. And you know what? If you love Billie Holiday, there's another great chapter in African American, in just history. Billie Holiday, her story is unbelievable.
Well, how does Tyler Perry and all these Black producers do it? Spike Lee.
Well, because they finally have more money and resources
more,
than they did
more
20
money,
years
ago. Well, Lee Daniels says very, very hard.
Yeah, they had to start out somebody. They didn't always have billions or hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. So if they could do it, other people can do it.
Yeah, it's hard to do, according to Lee Daniels, who's probably one of the most prominent Black filmmakers in Hollywood. All right, coming up next, something else. Something else. John, you've been talking about this for a long time.
What's that?
The thing that we talked about early this morning, and you talked about it a long time. You said you wanted to do something about it today.
Oh, okay, good.
Now is the time.
Excellent.
That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yeah, those guys are killing it, I think, John. Have you got a chance to listen to Sedano, LZ, and Cap?
No, but I will today when I'm driving in.
Yeah, you should do it. They are they're killing it. By the way, Cap, Scott Kaplan was on my podcast. I'll let you know when that gets released. We did that on Saturday. You know, he came close to being an NFL kicker, very close.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, kicked in preseason games.
Yeah,
which I'm sure he tells you about. Okay, so let me get this in. Michael, okay. Are you still there?
Yep, still here.
Okay, so you may not know this because you're not a big golf fan, but Michael, did you watch the Genesis Open at Riviera over the weekend?
Okay, so tournament.
This is kind of a cool story. A local guy named Max Homa won it. And what's cool about that is he grew up in L.A., went to high school in Valencia, big Lakers fan, big Dodgers fan. Been going to the tournament since he was 2 years old. So it was really cool to see him win. Matter of fact, Mace, if you would put up with one golf segment, I'm sure he would come on the show. He is a giant Lakers fan.
Oh, but I would totally do it, yeah.
But that's not the story I was going to ask you guys. On Saturday, they suspended play because of high winds. Not rain, not lightning. There was no danger. It was just really, really windy. Now, this seems kind of wimpy to me. I know the best players don't want to be embarrassed, but it's wind.
Right.
They wouldn't cancel a baseball or a football game because of wind. So why stop a golf tournament? Michael, did that make any sense to you?
No, because that shows you how soft some people are in this country, because we've seen the British Open when it's basically hurricane gale force winds over there, and they play on those courses because they're used to those conditions. But over here, you get a little bit of intemperate weather. It's like, oh, we can't play. Come on.
Right. Well, the wind was bad. I mean, it was. I played Saturday, and it was super windy.
Yeah.
But the wind would have been the same, Mace, for every player. I think it would have been cool to see how they navigated it.
No, it would have been fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I love that the tournament they do in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
It's the Waste Management
They just played that. It was earlier this month.
Where the there probably aren't fans there right now.
No, so they weren't the 17th hole where they throw the beer cans and get all.
Yeah, normally it's like a big party. People are loud. I mean, people are having fun, which is great to see at a golf tournament and gives a different dynamic. So yeah, the wind would have been fascinating.
So I mentioned this, Michael, to somebody that knows golf better than I do, and he said, no, you had to suspend it because when they put their balls down to putt, the wind was blowing the putts off the green. And I said, so what? If it's moving, you don't hit it. When it stops moving, hit it.
Exactly.
I would have liked to have seen, like, the scores would have been through the roof.
Yes, exactly. And we would have understood why, and it made it more compelling to watch.
Yeah, there's a famous story at Pebble Beach, that one hole, that short hole that goes right over the ocean.
117 yards.
Yeah, that one day he hit a Lee Trevino hit a 9-iron, and the next day the wind came back whipping the other way, and he hit a 4-wood on the same hole. That to me would have been interesting. I was shocked when I got home and they said, they suspended play for 4 hours because of the wind.
Just shows how entitled some of these golf players are, or tournaments are. Everybody's got to be perfect, or else we can't play.
Right. The other thing that came out of that weekend was Tiger Woods was the host of the Genesis Open, and he did an interview. And Jim Nantz says to him, "Tiger, we're really looking forward to seeing you at the Masters." And Tiger goes, "I don't know if I can play in the Masters. I just had back surgery."
Mm.
And Nance goes, "Is it possible you won't be there?" He goes, "Of course it is. I only have one back." He goes, "It's my fifth back surgery. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play."
He's 40. How old is Tiger now? 45?
Is he that old?
Oh, 44 maybe. So does he have another major or two in him, Ireland?
He's 45, yeah. 45. Actually, we have exactly what he said at the at Riv when he was interviewed this weekend. Go ahead and hit play that, Jorge.
Everybody wants to know how you're feeling, what you're doing since you've come off your fifth back operation. You feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled so that we'll see if the annulus is scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little more.
So as far as golf, what have you done since the surgery? Anything?
I have lengthened my putter.
Okay, right. Starts with that.
Yeah. You know, I don't have to bend over as far. I've gone to the same length as my sand wedge.
So,
because I do a lot of putting drills. You know, blading, hitting the equator with my sand wedge, and I figured, well, if I do a lot with that, why just lengthen my putter to the same length? So I did, and it helped.
So there he is, not sure if he's going to play in the Masters.
He's 45. Honestly, he's probably going to play competitive until he's 50, I would imagine. So that's 5 more years, Ireland. That's 20 more majors. Can he win 3?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Can he win 1?
Can he win 1 is the question.
You only think he'll win 1 more, Ireland, to get to 16?
I don't even know if he'll win the 1.
I think it would be amazing if he won 1 more. Amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. Given the fact that
I thought he won one more, Michael,
surgery.
Than you thought he would ever win. Didn't you lose money to Byron Scott on a wine bet because you said he'll never win another major?
Yeah, case of Camus. I owe Byron a case of Camus that I didn't think I thought he'd be stuck on number 14 forever.
Hey, you know, here's the thing about Tiger. Michael, you probably didn't watch it. John, I know you did. Watch the Tiger Woods documentary.
Of course I watched it. Why wouldn't you think I watched it?
Yeah, because you never seem to watch anything. We asked you about One Night in Miami every single time you're on. You still haven't watched it. So there was a massive Tiger Woods documentary on HBO. If you didn't see it, you should seek it out. It's 2 parts. It was on 2 Sunday nights. And I came away and it told the entire story, everything from the time he's a little kid on the Mike Douglas show to his marriage, to his dad's infidelities, to his infidelities, to the way it all melted down, to the way he came back. And I came away from it with a new appreciation for Tiger Woods. I feel like now I know him. I have a better understanding of who he is. And to me, it makes it amazing that he's able to compete at this level, given what has happened in his life. So I came away from that finding that Tiger Woods is very, very human. And to me, he became much more an empathetic figure than I didn't really have empathy until I saw that documentary.
People ripped that documentary for being too anti-Tiger. I had the exact same reaction you did. When I got out of it, I go, it's a wonder he's still going.
Yeah. No,
you know the other
incredible takeaway,
Mace?
What?
If I go into a club,
yep,
and Rachel Yucatel shows an interest in me,
good Lord,
run.
Yeah, run. That's a good idea.
Even if you're single? Even if you're single?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's going to end bad.
Yeah, no, she's, yeah, yeah, no.
Well, it only ended bad because Tiger was married. If he was single, he wouldn't have cared, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Tiger had so many balls in the air, so to speak. It was unbelievable.
Too many balls in his bag. Huh?
All right, Michael, are you prepared? Are you prepared? This is a very important game of games for Mason.
Yes, I need this badly.
And it's worth 2.
What's the category? Let me see if I can challenge Mace.
All right, the name of this game is Family Affair.
Family Affair.
Family Affair. Okay.
I'll describe it to you next.
That's coming up next for you. Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ireland's game today. It is worth 2 because it is the last month of February. Ireland, what do you got?
Okay, the name of this game is called Family Affair. I'm going to describe a family that has produced more than one professional athlete.
Okay.
As soon as you know the last name of the family I'm talking about, buzz in. Your name is your buzzer. Lindsay, Jorge, Mace, and Michael all playing. I'm looking just for the last name of the family. You don't need to know the first names or any of that stuff.
So more than one professional athlete.
Correct. All right. Here's number 1. This family features 2 brothers who both play the same sport. They are both currently active. One plays in the American League. The other plays in the National League. They are both infielders. Mace.
Kyle and Corey Seager.
Correct. Ah. Seager is the name I was looking for, and Mason takes an early lead.
Jeez.
Okay. Number 2. One member of this family went to USC. Another went to UCLA. The Bruin is a man. The Trojan is a woman. They were
Michael.
Both great
basketballs.
Michael.
The Millers.
The Millers.
Yep,
Reggie
the Millers
and Cheryl
is right.
Miller, and
right.
Michael is on the board.
I was going to call it, too.
Okay.
Where's Lindsay Michael. And George?
Yep. To scratch, right. As Stu Lance would say.
Okay, here we go. This family comes from football. There are 2 brothers, and they are both still playing. They have each won a Super
Bowl.
Jorge.
The Bosas? No.
No, you're out.
Michael. The McCautrys.
No, you're out. Lindsay, you want to guess or you want more clues? Lindsay. No, and Mace, you get the rest of the clues to yourself.
Okay.
They have each won a Super Bowl on different teams. The older brother won his Super Bowl with the Eagles. The younger brother won his with the Chiefs. The older brother is an offensive center, one of the best in the league. The younger brother is generally considered to be the best tight end in the NFL and has played in the last two Super Bowls. Mace, do you know?
Who are...
3, 2, 1.
The Watts.
No.
Oh, jeez.
Michael, tell him who it is.
The Kelseys, you idiot.
Yeah. Oh, the Kelseys.
Jeez.
Oh, Mace with a golden opportunity throw away. Jeez. Oh,
screw
all right.
You, Michael.
Okay.
I'm like that kid yelling at Cam Newton. You suck.
Yeah. All right. Next one. These brothers come from the NBA. They are both 7 feet tall.
Michael? The Lopezes.
Yes! Oh, I thought you were going to guess the Gasols. It is Brooke and Robin Lopez.
I was going to guess the Gasols, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though one is not playing anymore.
2-1.
Yes.
All right. This family comes from baseball. There are three family members, all who played in the major leagues. Two are now retired. One is still playing. Mace.
The Molinas?
Yes, the Molinas. Wow. Very good, Mace. Benji, Jose, and Yadier. And so far, it's been all Michael and Mason. Lindsay and Jorge yet to scratch.
I think Lindsay better go get a cappuccino.
Okay. The next one. This family features three professional athletes. All three come from the same sport. All three played at SEC schools. Combined, the three have appeared in 20 Pro Bowls. Combined.
Michael.
The Mannings. The Mannings. You're right, Michael.
Damn. I knew that, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That means Lindsay and Jorge are out. And Mace, you need to get this, Mace, to force the tiebreaker. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. This family features four professional athletes, three from the NBA and one from Major League Baseball. At one point, one of the family members played for the Dodgers and another one played for the Lakers. The most successful member of the family is a five-time NBA All-Star who is Michael.
Come on. Go ahead, Mace. You take it.
He doesn't know.
I don't know it.
Oh, come on.
Mace, I'll keep reading. Five-time NBA All-Star who's won three NBA championships and is still playing.
It's not fair for me.
The oldest guy of the four is a former number one pick in the NBA draft and works with me doing the Laker games on the radio.
Mason.
Go ahead, Mace. You can have it.
The Thompsons.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So Michael gave it to you, which means the tiebreaker comes into play.
This is for everything.
Yeah, that one was too easy. I wanted to be fair.
Yeah, that's good, Michael.
So this is... We got the NBA All-Star game coming up, right?
Yep.
What is the most total points scored by any one team in All-Star game history for one game? So, in other words, Mace, East or West, the winning score was how many points? Guess. The most total points ever scored in the All-Star.
Are you talking about who comes closest?
Yeah, closest.
Closest, not closest to that corner.
Yeah, you can go over. Whoever comes closest.
Okay.
Mace,
I will say 151.
Michael.
Oh, this is easy.
You should either guess 0 or 152.
Yeah, because I think I was at that game, and I was totally disgusted because no defense was being played, so I'll guess 160.
Michael is the winner. The answer is 196.
Yeah.
Whoa. 2016.
Yeah, at Toronto, right?
I missed it by 40 points.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that. I was sitting there. I was like, this is an embarrassment. It was basically a layup thing.
I never remember that. 190. Oh. They almost scored 200 points.
Yeah, I was sitting in Ireland. They basically were just running up and down the floor, tickling and giggling at each other, and just throwing lob and dunks. And just it was like a layup line.
Tickling and giggling.
Yeah, that's all they were doing. I said, this is embarrassing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, with the win.
Yes. What do I get?
You're up to five.
You get 2 points.
You're within striking distance of
it
me.
It is Ireland 6, ooh. Michael Thompson 5.
And Michael, you're back Wednesday when it's Lindsay's game.
Ooh.
So you could pass me.
And tomorrow is mine, so I cannot win.
Lindsay, do it right up my alley like old TV shows. Yeah. All right, Lindsay.
Michael, you're back Friday, too. Lakers, Blazers, yeah. Friday. Yeah. So
what is Bonanza?
Exactly.
Who is Andy Griffith?
Who is Little Joe?
Hey, so Michael, if you were the guy guard, what if I could put you in a room with the guy who has to guard Bradley Beal tonight, yep. like KCP, Caruso, and you had to give him instructions on how to stop the leading scorer in the NBA, what would you tell him?
You got your hands full tonight, fella. Bradley Beal can get to the basket, like May says, get to the basket. He can pull up and shoot jump shots. He can cross you over. He's a complete offensive player, so KCP and Caruso and the boys tonight, just shuffle your feet, try to stay in front of him, and hope that his jump shot's off. That's all you can do with a guy like Bradley Beal.
Yeah, he's a fun player. You know what, John? In my NBA fantasy draft, I had the last pick. So as the 14th pick, and I got Bradley Beal at 14
wow,
and Jimmy Butler
there.
At 15.
Mm-hmm. Those are ex-Mace. Those are excellent picks for a stiff like you.
That's why my team has been so successful this year, and now I've added Karl Anthony Towns to the mix.
Michael, what would you tell the guy who has to guard Russell Westbrook?
Back off of him and make him settle for jump shots. He cannot shoot. As much as we love Russell Westbrook, shooting is not the strength of his game.
He does love playing in L.A.
Yeah, he does. The only thing, his family won't be there tonight, but he does play well in front of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Bradley Beal reminds me of a guy who has no chance to go out with the supermodel, but he really thinks he can, you know, because he just won't ask for a trade. He keeps saying, no, I want to stay here and win. Come
yep.
on.
Here's the point in the show where I ask, what's the out time?
Oh, yeah, we already asked. 52-30.
Okay, I forgot it.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. What's your prediction for tonight? Ireland says this is a toss-up game.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think Lakers win by – oh, by the way, Mace, I did get an email that you wrote and said you were the medium.
Oh, you did get an email from Dora
from
the Medium?
Dora the Medium. Here it is. I'll just read it quickly.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Ireland, as Mr. Mason has requested, I'm writing directly to you. I bring you blessings of love and joy from the spirits beyond. I assure you that I am real and a genuine medium based in St. Louis. I am sincerely disappointed by your lack of faith. I sense that on some level you accept my loving connection to the universal wholeness and that my generosity in sharing the beautiful truth with those that believe in my gifts. As I told Mr. Mason, tonight will be a very successful one for my beloved Lakers. Connected to it all and in the deepest service of the world, sending you love and light and the beauty of this day, with deepest humility for all of my gifts, I wish you many blessings. Dora from St. Louis. Mace, that was a very well-written email by you.
I did not write that. Why do you not believe in Dora?
Ireland, win tonight.
Aren't you
afraid? If the Lakers win tonight,
I'm going to interrupt everything because we're coming up on the out time. Coming up next for you, Sedano, LZ, and Cap.
Late! You're late!